have been doing the series, I bring to you today part 6. What I want to do is to let you know that today we're going to answer 4 questions. Question number 1, when was the first angel's message preached? Number 2, when was the second angel's message preached? Number 3, when was the third angel's message preached? And finally, why I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. But today is part 6, the 3 angels sent from God. Would you bow your heads with me as we pray? Oh, Father, it's with great awe that I kneel here, that we all bow our heads. For we thank you for the music that you shared with us today. We are truly blessed. And now, Lord, I want you to present part 6 today yourself, so that all of us will clearly see the calling that this church has, straight out of the Bible and prophecy, to do your work in the last days, that no one else but those who understand these things can do. Now use me in spite of me, Lord, to graphically show the relationship between the chronology of the development and the 3 angels' message, how they all fit together. So send the Spirit now, Lord. Bring the peace of heaven upon this congregation. Do not let Satan in any way disturb or distract, so that you may receive the praise and we may receive the understanding we need to honor you the way you deserve. Let no one here be discouraged, Lord. And if they are, may they wait for us after church so we can pray with them. For, Lord, we're fighting a battle and we need to support one another. So blessed to this end, and thank you for hearing this prayer as you hear all prayers, especially when they're prayed in the powerful, precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, I'd like you, as we start, to read with me the 3 angels' messages. Okay, will you do that? Here we go. Then I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, and to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come. And worship Him who made the heaven and earth, the sea and the springs of water." And I saw another angel followed, saying, "Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If anyone worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in their forehead or their hand, that he himself shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and who receive the mark of his name. Part one was a man sent from God. In fact, again, if you're one of those very observant persons, it was titled A Man, (Men) Sent from God. His name was William Miller, and he was a farmer, not a preacher. And in the Great Controversy 409, it says this: the scripture which above all other scriptures has both the is both the foundation and central pillar of the Advent faith was the declaration unto 2,300 days, and then shall the sanctuary be cleansed. This was the message that God gave to this man in North America. And by the way, for those of you who missed the other parts, a fantastic bit of information that really made a big difference for me is while he was preaching here in the United States, there were preachers in South America, there were preachers in the mainland of Europe, on the island of Britain, in the Scandinavian countries, and one particular man called Joseph Wolff who went to the Middle East, and all at the same time they were preaching that Jesus was coming back in 1844. That Jesus is coming back in 1844. Amen. Folks, this wasn't a one-time thing where one guy baked up this idea and began to preach it and some people believed him. It was happening all around. And I want you to look again, if you would, at the first angel's message, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come." Notice that it says, "Fear God, for the hour of His judgment has come." To William Miller and his co-laborers, it was given to preach the warning in America. This country became the center of the Great Advent Movement. It was here that prophecy of the first angel's message, "Fear God and give glory to Him, because the hour of His judgment has come." And here in the United States, the prophecy of the first angel's message had its most direct fulfillment. Folks, this to me is incredible. By the way, I'm going to give you a test of memory. What country was the most likely country that the Lord picked to lead out in this message, but they blew it? What? It was Britain. Britain was the center of the universe back then. That was the empire. And men had arose there preaching the second coming of Jesus Christ. And they believed too that somewhere around 1840 Jesus would return. But along came Roman Catholic theology and individuals started pushing it. And they all switched from our way of thinking to the Roman Catholic theology. And it fell by default to the United States of America, William Miller. God sent a man, folks. God sent a man. And part two, if you remember, it ended in great disaster. We call it the great disappointment, for Jesus didn't return. And by the way, they were subject to all kinds of ridicule when Jesus did not return. But these people were faithful. A man named Hiram Edson, along with a couple others, prayed all night long. And when the morning came, they had another prayer, went to breakfast, and decided we better go out and encourage the brethren because Jesus didn't return. And while Hiram Edson was walking through the cornfield, he had a vision of the sanctuary in heaven, and he began to realize here is the answer to the disappointment that occurred to all of us. And so we were introduced to the sanctuary. And notice this quote again from Great Controversy. The subject of the sanctuary was the key which unlocked the mystery of the disappointment of 1844. It opened to view a complete system of truth connected and harmonious, showing that God's hand had directed the great Advent movement and revealing present duty as it brought to light the position and the work of His people. You know, folks, I wish we'd do a little creativity and spend a whole quarter teaching our children about the sanctuary. Hiram Epson saw this and they went back and they studied for almost a whole year before they published their findings. I want you to see a whole system of truth was discovered there. Well, something else happened next chronologically. Part 3, a woman from God. And I showed you in the Bible that every time prophecy, when the time was up, there was a prophet after the prophecy. Everyone. And Noah's 120 year flood, Noah was there. In Genesis 15, Abraham said that, or was told, 400 years of sojourn. When that was over, Moses was there. And then in Genesis, Joseph saw 7 years of drought. And when the drought was over, Joseph was there. And then in Numbers, Moses again was told that in 40 years, you're going to wander around in the wilderness. And at the end of that, Joshua was there. And then in Jeremiah, Daniel was told, or Jeremiah wrote, that captivity would be for 70 years. And when the 70 years captivity ended, Ezra and Nehemiah were there. And then in Daniel 4, Daniel saw that King Nebuchadnezzar would go insane for 7 years. He wrote it, and when it was over, Daniel was there. And then in Daniel 9, we have the 490-year probationary time of the Jewish people. And at the end of that, J.B. was there. John the Baptist. And Paul. And then we come to the longest time prophecy in all of Scripture. And let me add the last time prophecy. And when the time, October 22nd, 1844, occurred, Ellen White was there. Just the way it happened at all time prophecies. By the way, her first vision was right after the great disappointment. They don't know the exact date, but it was sometime in December 1844. And folks, Revelation told us, for John Penn in Revelation 12, under inspiration, then the last day Satan will be angry with a group of people who are called the remnant. And what identifies the remnant is they have two things. What do they have? Number one, the commandments of God. And number two, they have the testimony of Jesus. And then later on in chapter 19, John was so overwhelmed with what the angel said, he fell at the angel's feet. And the angel said, do not do that. Get up off your feet. I'm a fellow servant like you. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The last day church would have a prophecy, would have a prophet. And then part four comes along in chronology here, and we find Rachel Oaks Preston, who is a Seventh-day Baptist, who was going to church on Sunday because she had no one else to worship with. And the pastor, Frederick Wheeler, made a statement that you should keep all the commandments of God. So Rachel Oaks waited till the preacher came to visit her, and she looked at him and said, "You're not keeping all the commandments of God." And he says, "Well, Sister Oaks, what are you talking about?" And she said, "The fourth commandment of the Decalogue commands the worship on Sabbath." And that man went home and got on his knees and prayed about it and discovered the seventh-day Sabbath, wrote a tract that Thomas Pebble, another preacher, saw and read, and he wrote a tract. And a man named Joseph Bates read that tract, and he was convinced on the Sabbath, and he wrote a tract that James and Ellen White read, and the Sabbath had now come into the understanding of the Advent believers, folks. Now we're getting close to us. We're still not in existence yet, but pretty soon we're going to become a church. I want you to look closely at the first angel's message, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him." Why? "The hour of His judgment has come." That's Daniel 8:14. But then it says, "And worship," come on, "Him who..." Beautiful. Worship the Creator God. And when you worship the Creator God, you realize that the memorial God set to honor His creativity was the seventh-day Sabbath. "Fear God, give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, but worship the Creator God." And as we look at our church's development and the chronology of it, we see the first angel's message follows perfectly in line. And so in Genesis 2:1-3, before there was ever a sin and before there was ever a Jewish person, please remember these two things. God instituted the Sabbath. How did He do it? A, He rested on the Sabbath. B, He blessed the seventh day. And C, He sanctified it. Set it apart for special purpose. And so the believers began to keep the Sabbath. Now we have the first angel's message complete. And the answer to question number one is the Advent believers prior to October 22nd, 1844, preached the first angel's message. Well, let's look back at the second angel's message, "A Truth Sent from God," part five. "And another angel followed, saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because it has made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Now, don't miss that. The only reason Babylon's fallen is because she made, and she is a reference to a woman. A woman represents the church, whether pure or fallen. She made everyone drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Well, remember, we found three times in the book of Revelation we were told that. We were reminded three times. That's how important this issue is. The one I just read, "She made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Then in chapter 17:2, "The inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of her fornication." And finally in chapter 18:3, "For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication." Made all nations all inhabitants, all nations. Well, what is the wine? In Proverbs 20, verse 1, wine is a mockery, strong drink is raging, and whoever is deceived thereby is not wise. By the way, I'll take a time out, if you don't mind. If you're one of those Adventists that think it's okay to occasionally have a glass of wine, I want you to know that's not biblical. Not biblical. Don't touch the stuff. It has an intoxicating effect on you and leads you to be deceived. That's what it says it does. But notice what the great controversy tells us. The great sin charged against Babylon is that she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. This cup of intoxication which she presented to the world represents false doctrine. False doctrine that she has accepted as the result of her unlawful connection with the great ones of the earth. And by the way, if you remember 2 weeks ago when we looked at the great ones of the earth, if you remember correctly, I showed you that in the second century AD, individuals came along like Origen, for example, a Christian who believed in including Egyptian and Greek philosophy, and you put it all together and you get the deeper meanings of Scripture that were intended, not what Genesis says. That false doctrine came from the great ones of the earth, folks. I gave you by name and chronology. So, part five. Logical. A truth sent from God. The Seventh-day Adventist Church, these Advent believers who had just recently accepted the Sabbath began to meet in small groups and study sometimes all night and pray until they hammered out the doctrine. And first of all, they discovered the historicist school of interpretation, which was what the reformers used and what Jesus used to understand and teach prophecy, while England was going the futuristic direction, which is Roman Catholic theology, so that you would not know who the Antichrist was. And then they came up with the judgment in Daniel 8:14. And then they came up with the sanctuary found in Hebrews and the book of Revelation. And then they found the Sabbath law. And then they found the gift of prophecy. And then they found the state of the dead. And then they found that hell isn't real. Then they found the great controversy theme that there's a battle going on around us at all times between good and evil. We're the object, by the way, of that battle. We're the prize gem that evil is trying to win away from Jesus, and Jesus is trying to keep us away from the evil one. And finally, the health message, a truth sent from God. They begin to hammer this out, and they found the wine of Babylon. And by the way, I was blown away. Hell and the state of the dead come all the way from Plato, 400 B.C., not A.D. And Origen, like I said, in 200 A.D., a Christian, brilliant Christian man, decided that when you die, you really don't die. And that there is a place of torment. Jesus never taught that. The disciples never taught that. And now all of Christianity believes that. And so in chronology it came along and we lost sight of Jesus' simple statement in John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and only the truth shall make you free. And so the third angel, part six, the third angel sent from God. When was the second angel preached? The second angel was preached by the Advent believers the summer before, October 22nd, 1844. Remember, they were developing their theology as time went along. And this, the second angel's message, even came more clear much later than October 22nd, 1844. But it was preached. It was preached. By the way, you know that only leaves us with one more message. And then the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, "If any man worship the beast in his image and receive the mark in his forehead or his hand, the same he himself shall also drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of his Lamb." Folks, what is the wrath of God? The wrath of God is none other than what? What is it? The seven last plagues. That's what the wrath of God is. He pours out the seven last plagues after probation closes. And in Revelation 15, it says, on those that have received the mark of the beast and the number and worship the beast. This is serious stuff. We don't want people to go through the... By the way, I don't want to go through the seven last plagues. No, I don't want to be the receiver of the seven last plagues. But there's something even worse than that. We're getting there. "For you see, and the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day or night that worship the beast, his image, or whoever receives the mark of his name." Folks, this punishment is for eternity. Maybe I would easily say to God, "Okay, I'll accept the seven last plagues, but I want to go to heaven. Would you get me up there?" I'm serious. This is the most horrible pronouncement in all of Scripture. The third angel. And by the way, the smoke of their torment, forget the smoke. Take a look at this. Where did you go there? Oh, I guess that's all I got. The smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. People read that as hellfire forever. I go to my Revelation chapter 20 and it says, "Fire comes down from heaven and devours them." Puts them... In fact, you... In a second, I'm going to show you. This is the everlasting gospel. How can this be the gospel? I'll tell you why. This God is so loving, He does not torture you for eternity. He lets you go to sleep and puts you out of your misery. There isn't a person here who would be happy in heaven if they didn't love Jesus with all their heart. It would be torture. Constant torture. It would be like when you're having a party and Jenny and I come over. "Oh no, the pastor is here. Quick, get rid of that stuff. Well, how long is he going to stay? Who invited him anyway?" That's happened to us, by the way. That's the only reason I'm using it as an example. So number three, the seventh day... Oh, when is the three angels' message preached? By the Seventh-day Adventist believers. Now until the close of probation. In other words, it hasn't really been preached yet. Why? Because the mark of the beast doesn't exist yet. Now, we know what the mark of the beast is, but there hasn't been passed a law condemning worship on any day except Sunday. That's when it becomes the mark of the beast. In the meantime, we're called by God to present these beautiful biblical truths, to prepare them for what is coming, to get them to join us so that they'll be ready for all of this junk that's going to come down the pike. When was the third angel preached? Only when they were Seventh-day Adventist believers. And it goes on till the close of probation. Then I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Folks, this is the everlasting gospel. In fact, I want to tell you this, and I know you already know it. In the Bible, the word gospel, it says Jesus' gospel, God's gospel, good gospel, but nowhere else except Revelation does it say everlasting gospel. And notice the first angel is conversion to Jesus Christ. That has to take place first before the second angel can be preached. That means the Seventh-day Adventist Church, in order to preach this beautiful, everlasting gospel, must have a personal, vibrant, daily relationship with Jesus Christ. Not the computer. Not your cell phones. Man, you know, I used to skip that when I would preach. I'm telling you, everywhere I go. Everywhere. You know, you're carrying your computer in your hand. You can watch TV, movies, get on the internet. You know, my son Sam, he's going to kill me, okay? You know what he said to his wife last night? She was on her cell phone. He said, "Don't be a millennial." We got to have a relationship with Jesus. If you're going to have a relationship, you have to spend time. If you're going to spend time, it means in prayer, Bible study, and I'm telling you, reading the Spirit of Prophecy. It was the gift given to this church, just like Moses and Noah and John the Baptist. Go right all the way back. There's always been a prophet. And so, folks, what are we doing? We got a world to reach. Did you get that, by the way? To preach unto every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Does anybody hear prejudice? If don't raise your hand. If you are, get on your knees and ask God to correct your heart. And believe me, I don't know of one nationality that doesn't hate another nationality. I don't. And the only way I deal with it is by prayer. Because we have a whole world to reach and we've got some of the most powerful people against us. But we have the most powerful person on our side. Father in heaven, I want to thank you for challenging us. But no, you know what? Lord, I want to thank you for laying it out for us that when we study, we can see it clearly and know that this isn't fables. This isn't Greek philosophy and mythology. This isn't mysticism from Egypt or Eastern religion. This is your words. And you laid it out for us if we choose to study. May the Paradise people and all our guests that are here today be different from the rest of the world. Not to be different, Lord, but to show Jesus so that people are drawn to you because of us. Oh Lord, make it happen, please. And thank you that the Holy Spirit is more powerful than any evil force, and that you, who spoke into existence everything from nothing, is on our side. So bless each one now, Lord. Let decisions be made. If anybody wants to study for baptism, have them come forward when we have our prayer time now, so we can study with them, prepare them. They can join your army too. So defeat Satan now, Lord, who keeps us away and keeps us back, so that we would be active for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. International copyright, all rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministry.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There's no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with the speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He is coming soon.